his person and his work that we did this morning, if you take it out of the Bible, then it means the Bible is empty. If you want to know God, which is the best book to read? The Bible. Okay. You got that right. If you want to know man, what is the best book to read? Are you sure? You passed. It's pretty very interesting that you would think that if you want to know man, you will go to psychologists or to some psychiatrists or some doctors. But yet, everybody is still in the dark. But all the problems are solved in the Bible. You see, without the triune God in the Bible, the Bible is empty. And if you take man out of the Bible too, there's no one God can talk to. So both are very critical. That God wants to speak, who does he want to speak to? He just does not want to speak to open ear. He wants to speak man. That was why he created man. So that through his speaking, he can infuse himself into man. So open your lesson book 9. We go to message 9. And we declare the title together.
Key topics of the Bible.
Amen.
Man and salvation.
Amen. Like I told you, God is the main content of the Bible. But yet, if you take man out of it, then the Bible will not be complete. You see, in this message, we want to be impressed with the preciousness of man in God's creation as a vessel that was created in the image and likeness of God. So maybe I will let the brothers declare Roman 1. Brothers.
Amen.
Sisters, A.
The creation of man.
Brother 1.
Man not only possesses the highest created life, but he is also made in God's image and after God's likeness. The image refers to the inward parts, and likeness refers to the outward body, which constitutes a tangible man.
Amen. Can we go to the page? Twenty-four, and we declare Genesis 1:26 and 27 together. And I know it's part of your memory verse, and I know many of you have known this verse from before. Genesis 1:26 and 27. Go.
And God said,
let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of heaven, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. That God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him.
Amen. Male and female, he created them.
You see, right away from the beginning of the Bible, we can see why God created man. You see, out of all the items that God created, he created them according to their kind. Then when he came to man, he created man in his image according to his likeness. And he said, let them have dominion. Image is for expression. That kind of give you some kind of indication that if we will express God, it means we need to be contained with him.
Right.
That was why I treasured the message this morning, that the brother gave us a big watermelon. And he said, can you swallow it?
Right.
But it has to be processed.
Right.
So the Lord went through a process so that he can get into us. So we are vessels to contain God. You see, look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, I'm a vessel of God.
I am a vessel of God.
We all need to be impressed with this, that God made us with intention that he wants to enter into us. He wants to be our content. Such a mighty God, infinite, wants, look at man, man is so finite. How is it possible for the whole water in an ocean to fill a cup? I mean, only God can do that, because he created us with that view in the beginning, that he wants to be our content, so that we will express him.
Amen.
Yeah. So, on your outline, it says, the main purpose of God's creation of man, a corporate man, is to express God. B says, the word dominion includes more than just authority. Dominion means having a kingdom as a sphere in which to exercise authority. So two items in Genesis 1:26, image and dominion. The image is for expression. And dominion is that God will gain a kingdom, a sphere, where he can exercise his authority. God created man with the idea that this man would defeat his enemy. You see, the man that God created was pure. You see, it's like this clear water bottle. You know, in Genesis chapter 2, he said, God made man out of the dust and he breathed into man. You see, it's just an earthen vessel. The vessel is worthless, but it has a treasure in it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says, but we have this treasure in our earthen vessels. Oh, thank you, Lord, you are such a treasure in us. But before God came into man, the enemy came and entered into man and damage the vessel that God created for himself. So probably we should read together item 2 under A, the small 2. God created man. He did not put the divine life into man. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. What are the main two trees in the Garden of Eden? You have the tree of life, which signifies God. And you also have the other tree, which signifies the devil, which is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. One might feel that if you eat the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you will get knowledge. But really, God said that the day you eat that tree, you will die.
Right.
It means it signifies the devil and is the source of death. So may the Lord have mercy upon us, that the Lord will not force any one of us to choose him. He gave us a free will. He put man in front of the tree of life so that we can make the choice by ourselves. Yeah. Even that situation still faces us today. That where do you want to be? You can't be in between.
Right.
You have to choose one.
Amen.
Because there are two sources. One is the source of life. The other one is the source of death. Yeah. May the Lord continue to bring us on. You see, there are solutions in this portion that by the end of my portion, you will see that if we continuously exercise our spirit, we will always make the right choice. We will also always make the proper choice. Yeah. Lord Jesus, we give ourselves to you. Lord, our vessels, spirit, soul, and body.
Amen.
How much we need to exercise our spirit so that we can touch God. We will not put God aside. When we are making decisions, it is the God in our spirit that will be choosing for us. Right? So let declare item B together.
The fall of man.
Amen. After God made man, he placed man in front of the tree of life. But before man could contact the tree of life, Satan took the opportunity to come first, tempting man to contact the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and causing man to enter an illegal union with him. This became the first step of man's fall, because through his temptation, Satan caused man to doubt God's word and his heart. Then the second one is Satan, another cause of man's fall was the woman assuming headship. So originally, it says in the Bible, God created only one man. There was only one head, not two. Adam was the head. Eve was not. Eve was built out of the rib from Adam's side. Eve's head was Adam. The reason Eve was tempted by the serpent was that she assumed the headship and made the decision on her own and fell into Satan's snare. You see, you know, you young ones, sometimes you go out with your parents and somebody is asking your family a question and you jump up to answer. Who should talk? Is it you or your parent? The parents. You see, certain times we put God's deputy authority aside and be ensnared by the devil. Yeah. That was exactly what happened in the Garden of Eden. And the man took the wrong tree. So we need to see the process of the fall. The first step in the process of the fall was man's failure to use his spirit. When we don't use our spirit, it's like you put God aside. You took ownership of what you are not supposed to. May the Lord have mercy upon us. When that kind of situation happens, you are doomed to fail. You are doomed to be defeated by the devil.
Right.
So always, what we must exercise to do is to exercise our spirit.
Amen.
When we exercise our spirit, believe me, you will be under the shining. You will be refreshed. You will feel some watering within yourself. Your emptiness will go away. You will be full of hope, and you will be full of joy.
Amen. Oh,
how much is so critical for us to exercise our spirit.
Amen.
Yeah. Our spirit is where God dwells. We know God dwells in the heavens, but his heart desire is that he wants to dwell in man. That was why he created man. Yeah. Zechariah chapter 12 verse 1 says, God stretched forth the heavens. He laid the foundations of the earth.
Amen.
And he formed the spirit of man within man.
Amen.
The heavens are for the earth. The earth is for man. Who is man for? Man is for God.
Amen.
And he created us with a spirit to contact him, to receive him, to be filled with him, to be saturated with him. If we want to go on in our church life, this situation still faces us today. Do you want to be soulish in your soul, or you want to exercise your spirit to touch God's throne? He said the second step was the exercising of his soul, and the third step was the action of the body. So the result, through Adam's transgression, sin entered into the world, and death through sin. Death reigns over all men. Thus, in Adam, all die. Item 2. The devil caused man to fall further. Cain presented an offering to God according to his own concept, became jealous and killed his brother, created his own religion, and his descendants inventing a culture without God. Then item 3. Then the enemy took another step, causing man to fall even further. The sons of God, the fallen angels, married the daughters of men. This illegal marriage produced the flesh. This fall resulted in the withdrawal of the Holy Spirit from man and the total destruction of all flesh except Noah and his family. You see, when man became fallen, you all know the scriptural picture of a man. According to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, man has three parts. Spirit. Sorry for my drawing. Soul. And this is the body. You see, initially man's spirit was clear. The entire man was pure. When sin came into man, man's spirit became deadened. It's insulated. It cannot contact God anymore. Man's soul became corrupt, became polluted. Then the body became flesh. That was the man that God created for himself, that he will be man's content. If I give you a bottle of water, okay, and it's covered with mud, would you like to drink it? No. I wouldn't drink from a muddy cup. God wants to be our content, and the vessel is damaged. We need to be impressed. We are the vessels of God.
Amen.
And God wants to enter into us.
Amen.
Can someone open Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14? Psalm 139. You will see that we are awesomely made by God. God created man in a very unique way to express him. And it gave us a spirit to contact him, to receive him. He said, be filled in spirit. The more we exercise our spirit, the more God has entrance into us. Can someone read that verse? Psalm 139. Oh, you can read it. But read it loud with strong spirit.
For it was you who formed my inward parts. You wove me together in my mother's womb.
Amen.
I will praise you, for I am awesomely and wonderfully made. Amen. Your works are wonderful, and my soul knows it well.
Amen. You see, that's how precious we are in God's hand. We are awesomely made. He made us in a unique way. Because he wants to be our content. He wants us to express him. You see, you know, I have a dairy bottle here. I want to show you what it takes. If I put water in this bottle for you, will you drink it?
No.
So this this balloon is yucky. It's dirty, it's muddy. It's not useful anymore. It's supposed to bottle water. God bottle. That was the way we were in the hand of God. You could see that man needs salvation. God needs to work in us. Yeah, let me read a small portion here, then I will give it to Brother Osman. You see, you all can go to textbook page 120.
What kind of book is
it? Oh, the Bible. Oh, sorry. He said, I'm looking at the result of man's fall.
The result of man's fall.
Right. This is where I am. The result. 120. Yeah. 120. Yeah.
120.
Right. So, sisters, just read the first sentence. 120, the result under C. Did you get it?
The result.
Amen. Just the first sentence. Then on page 121, then the second paragraph, brothers, read just the first sentence.
The second result was that the body was changed in nature, having the element of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Amen. How about sisters? Then this, the second paragraph, the third, just the first sentence.
The third result was that man's spirit was deadened, becoming insulated from God, and losing its function toward God.
Amen. How about brother? The next paragraph, just the first sentence.
The fourth result was that the fallen man was constituted a sinner.
Amen. Then sisters, the fifth result. Then the brothers deceased.
The sixth result was that the curse was brought in.
Sisters, the seventh. Amen. How about the eighth, the brothers?
The eighth result was death.
Amen. Amen. You could see that how frustrated you think God will have been. And more or less like giving up on man. But our God is full of mercy.
Amen.
Yeah, he did not give up on man. Yeah. He said, as a result of this, man is completely useless to God, unable to fulfill the purpose of which he was created. That's on page 124. We can read that portion together. It's on the second paragraph, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The fifth line. Page 124.
As a result,
yeah. Did you get it? Page 124.
Before salvation.
As a result, man is completely useless to God, unable to fulfill the purpose for which he was created. Man does not have God's life to express him. Thus, man does not have God's authority to represent him. Rather, man came under Satan's control. This is the condition of man. But God still loves man and wants to save man out of this pitiful condition. Amen.
How about we say, oh Lord Jesus, I love you.
Amen. Oh Lord Jesus, I love you.
I know we all love the Lord to a certain extent, but We do want to love him more, don't we? That's why we're here. So can we ask that in prayer? Say, Lord Jesus, I want to love you much more. Amen. Let's do it together. Lord Jesus, I want to love you much more. I like to emphasize this phrase, much more. Let's say it, much more.
Much more.
Lord, I want to love you much more. And I like to emphasize that phrase because in the Bible, and we will see the verse later, there is a reference to that because there is much more to experience. I will ask you a question. Are you saved?
Yes.
Oh, some are not too sure. Are you saved, brothers?
Yes.
Amen. Sisters, are you saved?
Yes.
Amen. Am I saved? Hallelujah. Yes.
Amen.
We are sure of our salvation. We are saved. But the fall of man was so terrible that when we received salvation, our spirit became life. We received the life of God in our spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
Oh, but the rest of our being, our soul, and our body remain corrupted. It is still under the fall of man. So that's why we read on those points that I actually will assign you those readings. The reading on the fall of man tomorrow during your time of study. Just read, we read just the first sentence of each paragraph. Just read the sentence, the paragraphs through, and you will have the impression of the excellent job Satan did on man to cause him not to be useful to God. You know, I don't know if you have any experience having something you treasure and it's damaged a little and you can fix it. But sometimes that something that you treasure gets so damaged that cannot be repaired anymore. Like a cell phone when it's broken completely or maybe fall into the water and just doesn't work for anything else. Anybody has dropped your phone on the water and doesn't work anymore ever? I have a bunch of pictures and things for work and I thought, well, at least we can transfer the memory. Not even the memory worked. Nothing. It was just good for nothing. Well, man, after the fall, was good for nothing.
Amen.
The design of God's plan was everything centered in man. And that is why he created him this way, with the spirit, soul, and a body, so that he will be useful to his plan. There is so much more to it, and to the part of salvation that I'm going to speak. But we just want to mention, to give you an impression that this is in the Bible.
Right.
And that this is the truth. But we really need to enter into the depths of these teachings of the Bible.
Right.
And we should know the truth. Because the Bible says that you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. You want to be free from sin? You need to know the truth.
Right.
You want to be free from temptation?
Yes.
You need to know the truth.
Amen.
You want to be saved from doubts? You need to know the truth.
Amen.
And this is not in 4:7 of the Bible. Don't write that. If you're writing this down, I hope you do. I don't want to assume that we all know this. Maybe some of us don't. The three circles. So according to many people, this is a man. Right?
Right.
Oh, but according to God, this is man. This is a perfect design. And you find this in the Bible where? First Thessalonians. Chapter 5. Verse, brothers? 23. Is that right, sisters?
Yes.
1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. So if you did this, put the reference on it. So when you speak about the truth, it's believable and provable. You can open your Bible and say, here, this is what the Bible says. You know, I was a believer for many years. And I did not know that I had spirit. Had no idea. I thought the spirit and the soul was something weird. But I didn't even know what it was. And I had read the verse, but it just never clicked in my mind. So we need to know the truth. So this is the design of God. For man, for his plan. But the enemy just caused him not to be useful at all. The body became flesh. The soul became contaminated with the element of Satan. The spirit was deadened, no longer useful. Oh, but God did not give up. God had a plan of salvation. And that's what we want to talk about tonight. But first I want to impress you, why is it that we need salvation still? That is because the element of Satan, the rebellious nature of Satan, his satanic nature was infused into man, and it is still in our soul and still in our body. You know, the Lord Jesus came, and in Mark 12, he's telling a story to the Jewish people that he came to save. And because they were rejecting him, they told him a story that is recorded there in Mark 12. And he was talking to the scribes and the elders and the chief priests, the people that were actually supposed to be seeking God. And he told them the story of this man who had a vineyard. And he gave this vineyard to these people to work on his vineyard, so that they will have a way to live out of the land. We know what is a vineyard, right? A vineyard is a grape plantation. So they will work there, they will produce some grapes, and they will have living out of the riches of this land. But of course, the land was his. And then he continues with the story, telling them. And then one day, this man, the owner of the vineyard, went away. And then at the proper time, he sent one of his faithful workers. Go visit them, see how they're doing, and bring me some of the fruit of my land. So this faithful worker goes there, and then the people that were now working in the vineyard, they were just happy that they were given this vineyard. And then when this faithful worker came, they told him, no, we're not going to give you anything. And they just beat him up and sent him away empty-handed, says the Bible, Mark 12. So the owner of the vineyard in Mark 12, he sent another one. And then to this one, they hit him in the head like, don't you understand? Go away. And he sent him away empty-handed. Then finally, he sent another faithful worker, and these people actually killed him. So out of all resources, this owner of the vineyard, he had an only son, his only beloved son. And he thought, okay, maybe if I send my own son, they will respect him because he's my son. And they will subject to him and receive him. So he sent his son. And when his son came to the vineyard, you know what happened? I will tell you what happened. Verse 7 and 8 of that chapter of Mark says, but those vine dressers, meaning the people that were working at the vineyard, said to one another, this is the heir, meaning the one who will get the inheritance. He's the son. And they said, come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours. And they took him and killed him and threw him out of the vineyard. You know, the Lord Jesus is telling them this story to the scribes and the elders and the chief priest. But he is actually talking about himself, right? He is the only son sent to his own people. They have a vineyard because they are in the promised land. They are in Jerusalem. God promised the land to them, and God gave it to them. And now he sent his only begotten son to bring them closer to God. And what they did was reject him. And actually, later on, this same chief priest, scribes, you know, the chief priests were the holiest priests, those who were consecrated to work and live for service in the temple of God. The scribes were those who were supposed to be teaching the Bible to God's people. And the elders were those who were supposed to be leading the people according to God's will. But these ones were the ones rejecting the incarnated God himself. So later on, they actually requested that this Jesus should be nailed to the cross and be crucified. They were the ones who screamed, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. But the Lord, when he was on the cross, he was nailed to the cross with a crown of thorns, with his body full of blood, because he was whipped many times, with nails on his hands, with nails on his feet, suffering the most inhumane execution ever existed in human history. And under such suffering, he said the most wonderful prayer.
Amen.
He said, "Father, forgive them." He said, "Father, forgive them." But you know, when he said them, he did not only refer to the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. He referred to everyone who was born with such fallen, satanic, ruined nature,
right,
rebellious nature. Meaning, he was praying on the cross for each of us.
Right.
He was praying that you will be forgiven. And he actually took our place, we the sinners. We were the one who's supposed to die, but he died for us. He died for us that we will live, that we will receive his life in our spirit. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
This is the heart of the Lord.
Amen.
His heart is always faithful to us. No matter what condition you think you are, no matter how many times you have failed, no matter how terrible you may think you are for whatever reason, whatever our condition are, is the Lord knows. He is the God of this universe. He knows. And his heart is, "Father, forgive them."
Right.
Oh, I am just so touched by his loving heart, with his design and his plan to save us. Because his salvation is actually a full salvation. He decides not only to save us in our spirit, but in our soul, our mind, our thoughts, our concepts, our considerations are by nature inclined to the satanic nature, are by nature inclined to be contrary to God. You may think, well, not really. That was the scribes and the elders, but me, well, I'm a church kid. Well, think about it. The Lord said, "Obey your parents." Do we obey our parents? We'll say, well, yes, sometimes, sometimes not. The Lord goes on to say, "Honor your father and your mother." This means not only with our actions, but even with our thoughts, that in our heart we honor our parents. But many times we are inwardly in our head with a lot of complaints. And many times we actually let these complaints out. This is contrary to God's nature. But why is it that we are like that? Well, we were not made like that. This happened because Satan came in and destroyed man.
Right.
Oh, but God is in the business of recovering.
Amen.
He is recovering man.
Amen.
For his plan. Why? Because he loves man. He goes even on to say, "Love your neighbor." What's our feeling? We love every neighbor? We might say, "I'll love him if he's nice." Maybe. But even goes on to say, "Love your enemy." What's our feeling? No way! How can I love my enemy? This is an act of God. For this man needs God to be infused.
Right.
Not only in his spirit, but in his entire being. And, you know, I am just very touched by this statement that I would like you to hear. Because, and if you forget everything I have said, but you remember this, I'm happy. So pay attention. Because God loves me, he is determined. Determined means that he will not change his mind, no matter what. He is determined to save me to the uttermost. The uttermost means completely, totally. Let's write that down. Write it. Because God loves me. That is the reason. Because God loves me. Because God loves me, He is determined. Determined is spelled D-E-T-E-R-M-I-N-E-D. He is determined to save me. Oh, He's determined to save me. We have to make the Bible personal. To save me to the uttermost. The uttermost is spelled U-T-T-E-R-M-O-S-T. I borrow this word from this scripture. Write it down right after that. Hebrews 7:25. So this thought is implied there. The verse actually says, He is able to save to the uttermost, meaning fully, completely, totally, those who come forward to Him. So we have to have faith in God. The Bible tells us that He is able. No matter how damaged we are, God is able. Say that with me. God is able.
God is able.
Yes, He is able to save us to the uttermost. Completely, totally, our entire being. Those who come forward to Him. So we just have to come to Him. Just to come forward to Him. Just as we are. Just to come forward to Him to receive much more salvation.
Amen.
And this is because He loves us. It is because He loves us. I was really touched this morning while I was having time with the Lord. The Lord gave me this verse. Psalm 36:7. Just write the reference, Psalm 36:7. You may read this verse when you have some time. But write this key word that I found there. The key word is loving kindness. So this is the combination of love and kind, right? But it's one word, loving kindness. This verse says, how precious is your loving kindness, O God! Thus the sons of men take refuge in the shadow of your wings. The psalmist here is praising God for His loving kindness. And he's expressing this in this way, that we can run to Him because He loves us. Run to His wings. Run to His protection. Run to His love.
Amen.
Oh, God is a God of loving kindness.
Amen.
And you know, I searched this word loving kindness. This is in Psalms, and we already learned that the Old Testament was written in what language mostly? In Hebrew. So this word in Hebrew, I check in the Hebrew Bible, is written in the Old Testament 247 times. Right there, 247 times you will find that word in the Old Testament. So even in the Old Testament, God is presenting Himself as a God of loving kindness to men. But if you consider all the other accounts in the entire Bible, including the New Testament, that refers that God loves us. God loved us. God loves us. All those expressions of the word love, if you count them all, it's more than 1,000 times. More than 1,000 times. Wow, I was so impressed by it. Because we already learned that the Bible is a book that is actually a personal letter to us. You remember that? I think the first day we learned that. That the Bible is a personal letter written by God for you. And He tells you here more than 1,000 times that He loves you.
Right.
Why I am stressing this so much? Because our heart needs to be clear. Because the enemy likes to lie.
Right.
The enemy is a liar. And he will tells us, you're not good to be a Christian. You cannot do this. Why are you going to a meeting if you did this and did that? Why are you going to stand up and prophesy and say something for the Lord when you are this, 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 and that? But we have to tell the enemy, you're a liar.
Right.
The Bible tells us that those who are in Christ Jesus, for them there is no condemnation.
Amen.
We are in Christ Jesus. In God we have salvation.
Amen.
No condemnation. Condemnation is of the enemy. Let's look in the outline and we will see that we have this Roman numeral 2, salvation. And if we will read, we will find out that salvation was actually promised from the beginning. Why don't you write this down in front of salvation? Promised from the beginning. So it's not that man fell and then many years later, God felt terrible about man and he was merciful, sent his son to save man. No, from the very beginning, the response of God to man's fall was to promise salvation. And actually, in God's foreknowledge, he actually had it already planned out. Let's read number 1 under A. Let's read it together. After man sinned and fell, God came immediately to promise man that the seed of the woman, Christ, will come and bruise Satan's head. It says that God came immediately. I will think that God will come immediately to tell man, what do you do? Rebel, disobedient man. But he actually came immediately to promise salvation. The verse is Genesis 3:15, which is actually one of your memory verses. Let's take a look on the next page, page 24. And we will do some underlining here that will help us to memorize this verse, which eventually you have to memorize. Page 24, you'll see in the middle, Genesis 3:15. Let's read it together. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He will bruise you on the head, but you will bruise him on the heel. So this was spoken right after man fell. And let's underline, he will bruise you on the head. Just underline that part. He will bruise you on the head. So first, here actually God is not talking to man. He's talking to the serpent, which caused Eve to be deceived and fell. And then with Adam, of course. So he's speaking to the serpent, telling her, and I will put enmity between you, the serpent, and the woman that he deceived. And between your seed, the seed of the serpent, which will be Satan and all his followers, and her seed, and the seed of the woman, meaning the descendant of the woman, is referring to Christ. Because Christ was foreplanned to be born of a woman. And we know that happened later in the New Testament. So then the next phrase says, he will bruise you on the head, meaning Christ will bruise the serpent on the head. That is deadly, right? That actually happened on the cross. When the Lord Jesus went to the cross, he actually took the flesh to the cross and in it destroyed the rebellious nature that was infused into man. Right. So Hebrews tells us that actually Christ on the cross destroy the devil.
Right. Amen.
We need to have that clear.
Amen.
At the cross, Christ destroyed the devil.
Right.
He took the flesh. He took the old man. He took sin. All these negative things that came from the fall and nailed them to the cross. And destroyed the devil. That's the bruising on the head of the serpent. And the next phrase, but you will bruise him on the heel. So still, Christ had to go through all the suffering of crucifixion. But that was only a bruising on the heel, because Christ resurrected on the third day. Amen. Death could not hold him because he is the resurrection life.
Amen.
He is the eternal life. Hallelujah. This is the gospel. This is the truth. So this is what it refers of the promise of salvation of Christ as the seed of the woman. So there is two aspects of this. The promise of salvation, number one, was promised as the seed of the woman. That is this verse that we just read. But it was also promised as the seed of Abraham. Also in the beginning of the Bible, which is the book of... What's the first book of the Bible?
Genesis.
Genesis. So all of this is in Genesis. In Genesis, we find the promise of salvation of Christ as the seed of the woman and also as the seed of Abraham. And as the seed of Abraham, Christ is typified by Isaac. That's number two where we see there. Why is it typified by Isaac? First, what is it that is typified? typify is that it's a picture of. It shows like Christ. Because there are so many aspects that are alike. First, he is a seed of Abraham because he was his only son with Sarah, his wife. And Christ was the only begotten of God, the Father. But not only that. If you remember the story, or if you don't know the story, let's just tell to those who don't know. God asked Abraham to offer his only son, his only beloved son, Isaac, to offer him in sacrifice on a mountain. And Abraham obeyed that command and took Isaac to be sacrificed on that mountain. That mountain has a name. This actually happened in a place called Mount Moriah. And, you know, the Lord Jesus also was taken to a mountain to be crucified, to be offered as a sacrifice to God. And you know what? It is the same mountain, the Mount Moriah. That happened with Isaac, and then 2,000 years later, about 2,000 years later, the Lord Jesus was crucified on the same mountain. Can you believe that? This is amazing. This alone proves this is the Bible. Who will write such a book? The same mountain and the same case. But of course, the reality was Christ crucified. Right. Isaac was just the picture, just the type. Because Isaac actually was not sacrificed. When Abraham was ready to sacrifice his son, God said, I will provide the sacrifice for you. Don't hurt your son. Here is a lamb. And Christ was offered as the lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. Also, there are many details, but one that always touched me is that Isaac was taking the wood as he was going up the mountain. He was taking his own wood to be sacrificed because the sacrifice after he was sacrificed needed to be burned. He himself was taking his own wood up the mountain. But in the same mountain, 2,000 years later, the Lord Jesus was also carrying his own cross. Oh, wow, this is such a type. Anyway, all of these things we see in Genesis where salvation was promised, first as the seed of the woman and second as the seed of Abraham. And there is a verse that tells us clearly in Galatians 3:16. There in the outline you have it under 2. At the end of those verses says Galatians 3:16. You circle it. This verse in the New Testament tells us that the seed of Abraham is Christ. So it's not our interpretation. The Bible tells us that the seed of Abraham referred in the Bible is Christ. Amen. Where? Galatians 3:16. Circle the verse. That's the one that confirms this. Hallelujah. We have salvation in Christ. Now, the matter of the full salvation. I want to let you know that there are many aspects to it here, and we're not going to cover them all because of time, but fear not. We will cover them, all of them, detail by detail, next year, because next year we will be covering the topic of full salvation. Amen. We just want to leave you with the impression that this is in the Bible, that this is the truth. Amen. So I'm just going to mention the three stages. So number one says, first stage. Let's just circle that. So when you see the outline, you easily find what's the first stage. First stage. The first stage on number one. That stage is called the initial stage. And that's the stage of regeneration. Amen. So underline again, regeneration. So I just want you to see this in your outline clearly. That the first stage, the main thing we refer to is regeneration. And then it tells us a bunch of other things that happened there, but we will study that in detail next year. But I just want you to remember this, that the first stage is when we believe in Christ. So regeneration happened where? In what part of our being? Spirit. In our spirit. Our spirit was regenerated. That was the first step of our salvation. But then the second stage, number two, just underline that, the second stage. This stage, it says, of salvation, the progressing stage, is the stage of transformation. Please underline transformation. So I hope you remember this. In the spirit, We need regeneration. In the soul, we need the second stage. How do we call it?
Transformation.
We need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, by the adding of the element of God in it. Remember, there is the element of Satan still in our mind. There is the element of Satan still in our feelings, in our emotions, in our will. How do we solve this? We cannot solve it on our own. We need to take the medicine. The medicine is the eternal life of God. This life is contained in the Bible.
Amen.
The Bible is actually a book of life.
Amen.
So we want to leave you with the impression to be transformed in our soul, to be fully saved. We need to receive this life.
Amen.
Contained in the Bible. And there is a verse, also a memory verse. Let's go to page 24 again. Romans 5:10. This is the verse that speaks of much more. Let's read it together. For if we, being enemies, were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more we will be saved in his life. In reconciled. So we were enemies by Christ's death. Oh, praise the Lord. We have been reconciled to God. But still we need to experience the much more salvation in our soul. There is much more. It's like when you go to a candy factory and at the entrance they give you just a little sample. Oh, nice candy. But inside the factory, there's much more. There's much more candy. Oh, there's much more of this salvation. We have had some experiences of salvation. But there is much more. And we need to be those who aspire and pray for much more. Oh, Lord, that we will enjoy you much more.
Amen.
That we will love you much more. That we will spend more time on your word much more.
Amen.
Receiving much, much, much more life.
Amen.
This is the way that God has to save us to the uttermost.
Right.
And then the last stage, number 3, going back to page 23. On number 3 says the third stage, underline the third stage. Then it says this is the completing stage, the stage of consummation. This stage is composed of the redemption, transfiguration of our body. So let's underline redemption, transfiguration of our body. So there is the redemption, which is the transfiguration of our body. What is that of transfiguration? That even our physical body will be completely saved. The body that we have today is a body that gets sick. In fact, some of you got sick and had to go home. One of you went home and came back, praise the Lord. This body that gets sick, this body that is weak, this body that still can be tempted by sin, this body that gets aged and get old and eventually die. But eventually our body will be filled also with this eternal life.
Amen.
And the Bible tells us that our body will have a transfiguration, transform into the glory of the body of Christ.
Amen.
The glorious body of Christ when he resurrected. To that body, our body will be like that.
Amen.
Oh, we are waiting for that day.
Amen.
That we will be fully saved. Our spirit, soul, and body.
Amen.
And we are not the only ones who are waiting for that day. Even the Lord is waiting for that day. Even the whole creation, the whole universe is waiting for that day. You might call me crazy as we were singing, crazy, crazy. Well, I'm not crazy. That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
That the animals, that the plants are waiting for you to choose God.
Right.
That you will be filled with God.
Right.
That this life will completely transform you and transform me.
Amen.
Because the day that happens collectively, you know what will happen? The Bible tells us that even the creation will be free.
Right.
Meaning the creation right now is under a bondage.
Right.
And by our complete salvation, they will be delivered.
Amen.
And they are anxiously waiting.
Amen.
To prove you that I'm not crazy, let me just find that verse. And you will write it. This is a very, very fact, very interesting. is Romans 8. Write it down. Romans 8, 19 and 20. Listen to this. This will blow your mind. This is just amazing. This is indeed the word of God. It says, "For the anxious watching of the creation eagerly awaits the revelation of the sons of God." So today we look like any other human being. But that day we will be revealed as the sons of God.
Amen.
Amen. And verse 21 says, in hope, listen to this, that the creation itself will also be freed from the slavery of corruption. The creation itself is under the slavery of corruption.
Amen.
But they will be free into the freedom. I will say the freedom of God, but look what he says. The freedom of the glory of the children of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So I hope you have the impression of what is God's plan and how he treasures us. You know, with the example that Brother Ola gave us with the dirty, messed up bottle, our option is, I just get another one. You know, when man fell, God could have done the same. God is God and just create another one, maybe a better one. But God did not give up on us. Remember this, young people, God did not give up on you.
Right.
You are uniquely precious to him.
Amen.
You are irreplaceable to him.
Amen.
You are a child of God. And he loves us. So for this reason, I just want you to remember that statement we wrote. Because God loves me, he is determined to save me to the uttermost.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.